Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Okay, welcome back everyone to our latest episode of A World Powerfully Transformed. Our guest today is a very special friend of mine and the leader of the Cape Sangha here on Cape Cod, which takes place right here in our sanctuary every Sunday at 4:30. His name is James Kirshner, and James also he's a recently retired professor from
Cape Cod Community College.
Cape Cod Community College. And you were a professor of literature there?
Language and literature was the official name, yes.
Excellent. Creative writing, journalism, all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Excellent. That's amazing. So we're so glad to have James here today. How long has the Cape Sangha existed?
Let's see. We started in 1997, so that's, I think, 23 years or so.
23 years.
It started with just a few friends sitting around my living room, and then we outgrew that space, and a previous Unity minister invited us to practice here, and so we've been here for 10 or 12 years, I guess.
Excellent. You've been here longer than me and Walted Ave. So I know that Thich Nhat Hanh's order is called the Order of Interbeing. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Thich Nhat Hanh passes on the teachings of the Buddha, who said that we are all one, that this idea that we have separate selves is just an illusion. And my life would not be possible if it weren't for millions and millions of other people, animals, plants, and minerals. So we're all interconnected. It's the basic teaching of the Buddha.
Excellent. Interbeing. You know, that's what I try to focus on as well as a Unity minister, is our oneness and our interconnectedness.
Yes.
So that's what I'd like to focus on today. Basically, as our interconnectedness being the answer to all of the problems we perceive in the world today, all the things that are happening seem to be of division, of separation, and we're not acting as though that we are all one, and we're all one with the planet. So this is something that's really up for me personally, and I know that my spiritual practice helps me to regain my peace. But how do we bring peace to the whole world, James, through our spiritual practice?
That's a hard one. I think I often say I can't solve the problems in Syria or the wildfires in California or anything like that, but maybe I can help the person sitting right next to me. And I think if we all do little things to just spread the idea that we're all interconnected, that's the only way it's going to spread, just person to person, one to one, until we all know that we're all brothers and sisters.
Well, that's amazing, and that's what we try to do here. Create community is one of our mission statements. and celebrating our love. But the part that I feel is the most important right now is transforming lives.
Yes.
And could you speak a little bit about how your life has been transformed by your spiritual practice?
Oh, yes. It's been pretty dramatic. I had a very unhappy childhood with two alcoholic parents, so I was nervous and insecure through most of my life. And then I went away to college, and a bunch of traveling hippies taught us how to meditate. And I remember sitting in that church basement saying, after they just said, you know, close your eyes, relax, breathe in, breathe out. And I felt like I was comfortable in my own skin for the first time because I realized I was all right. And that connection with everybody else also brought a great sense of security. I'm not in this alone. And so it's been 50 years of Buddhist practice for me. And every time I get into that meditative state, I feel more peaceful, relaxed, and I can feel that connection that unites us all. Then sometimes I get upset and wrapped up with the busy world and thinking about the pandemic and politics and all the troubles, and I get very upset again. I need to remind myself through regular spiritual practice to come back to what Thich Nhat Hanh says, come back to your true home, your inner self.
Wonderful, wonderful. So when you come back to that inner self, I've experienced incredible vibration, a frequency of vibration that is shared. When I come to your meditation on a Sunday and we're in a group, it seems more powerful. Like the group meditating together seems like it brings more peace to me. It's easier to meditate. It's easier to find the peace and easier to keep that peace once I leave the building. Do you think there is a collective consciousness that is affecting the world and we can affect it through our meditation practice?
Well, I certainly agree that there's a collective consciousness you can feel when you're in a group of people meditating, or I would say praying together. All the great religions have the concept of people gathering together to share their spiritual practice. And in Buddhism, I can definitely feel when we're meditating, it's vibration is the word you used, and I can't find a word that's exactly right to describe that wonderful feeling that we're all in this together.
But so this is great because my teaching and a majority, I would say, of Unity teachers and ministers would say that that's our reality, that place that we are going to when we meditate is available all the time.
Yes.
It's not something we're creating, but we're putting our limited thinking aside, our preoccupation with self mm-hmm. aside, and therefore we're experiencing the oneness that already is.
Yes.
Do you feel that as well?
Yes. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches that heaven is available right here and right now. We
yes.
don't have to wait until after we die. And I've experienced that. Just with meditation and prayer and spiritual practice, I feel that it's really heavenly. And then having had that experience, this morning on my walk, I noticed a little flower, a wildflower by the side of the road that was very beautiful. And I just stopped and smiled, and that felt like heaven too. But if we don't have a spiritual practice, I probably would have just walked right past that flower and never noticed it, you know?
That brings up a great point, James. I'm so glad you're mentioning that. That's something that I've known that is called mindfulness.
Yes.
And that's basically what Thich Nhat Hanh teaches, right? Mindfulness?
Yes.
Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Oh, yes. Well, my favorite description is by Jon Kabat-Zinn. He said, mindfulness is paying attention on purpose, without judgment, as if your life depended on it.
Oh, man, slow down.
Because it does.
Because, wow, wait a minute, say that again. I need to hear this.
Pay attention.
Paying attention.
In the present moment.
In the present moment.
Without judgment.
Without judgment.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Yeah. And then he adds, as if your life depends on it, because it does.
Because it does.
Yeah.
That's, no, really, I want to stop there, because if we could focus on this, right now, I feel our mindless actions, mindless lifestyles, have led to destruction of the planet. And right now, all the wildfires that are happening last year in Argentina.
Australia.
I always call Australia Argentina. last year in Australia and this year in California are way beyond the scope of anything we've ever seen before. You can see these fires from space.
Yes.
And I feel, I don't know if I'm alone in this or not, but I feel it's because we're not being mindful of the planet on which we live. Our life depends on it.
Yes.
Being mindful.
I agree.
So I want to let you talk a little more about mindfulness, but thank you for that description, because mm-hmm. our life does depend on being mindful of one another and the planet. I truly believe that. So thank you for saying that this morning.
Thank you. One aspect of mindfulness that just hit my mind is often when we're in a conversation, while you are talking, I'm busy planning my response instead of listening to you. And part of mindfulness, the way we practice it, is to practice active, deep listening. And that's so rare today.
Wow.
One time, Thich Nhat Hanh was asked, when Osama bin Laden was still alive, he said, what would you say to Osama bin Laden? He said, oh, I wouldn't say anything. I would listen. And I think that's what this world needs, is more listening.
That's great. Well, I want to listen to more of this mindfulness. I want to know how we can be mindful with one another and with the planet. You just said two things, is paying attention to the flower or our environment and paying attention without judgment, listening to one another.
Yes.
That's so important. Could you talk a little more about that, our interpersonal relationships?
Yes. It's very spiritual. It's an important part of my spiritual practice, because I know that I am in you and you are in me. We are interconnected. So why would I ignore or insult or judge you harshly? Because that's judging myself harshly. And I think mindfulness enables me to stop and pause and realize, oh, my mind is going crazy here. I'm worrying about the past. I'm worrying about the future. And I'm completely missing the present moment. So it takes practice. And our order has something we call the five mindfulness trainings.
Oh, really?
That are handed down from the Buddha. And they enable us to practice being as mindful as possible and being in the present moment rather than worrying about the future or regretting the past. Somebody said that living in the past causes depression and living in the future causes anxiety, but living in the present causes happiness.
Ah, thank you.
Tony, right here, right now, sitting in the Unity, it's a nice temperature. Everything's okay. I don't need any food. Life is really perfect right here, right now. But if I didn't have mindfulness, I'd be saying, oh, what about those poor people out in California? What about the people dying in nursing homes? You know, I start worrying about troubles, and it takes me out of the present moment. So I think it's important to stay in the present moment when that's appropriate. Now, there's also time to, you know, learn and see if there's something I can do to help the big problems in the world. But I shouldn't be obsessed with it, because that just drags me down.
Well, I noticed when I was in your meditation on a Sunday afternoon that we did pray for all sentient beings to release them from suffering and all the causes of suffering. So isn't that also taking action in the here and now to ease the suffering of those in California in the nursing homes?
Yes, very good. You remember well. Yeah, at the end of the Sangha, I say a little Buddhist verse, which is, may all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be peaceful and at ease. May all beings be well and free from suffering. May all beings be happy. And that is our Buddhist prayer, if you wish.
Thank you, James, for that prayer. Because I feel if we look at the world or the universe scientifically, and we let our minds expand in knowledge, we can understand that we are one. When you were talking, saying if you judge another, you're judging yourself, then most people do not understand that.
Right.
But through a lot of reading, a lot of experience on my part, I've come to understand that all these cells and atoms that make up our bodies and what we call ourselves are shared.
Yes.
We're not a closed system. We're an open system. We're breathing in, we're breathing out. And so we're sharing all of these, actually the physical stuff, not just the spiritual stuff, but the physical stuff that makes up you and me in our bodies and the planet and the animals and the air. And it's all shared.
Yes.
So this brings me to the point of, if I'm in a spiritual practice, if I'm experiencing peace in this body, am I not sharing that peace with you, whether you know it or not?
Oh, definitely. You know how if you're in a room and someone walks in, before they even say anything, sometimes you can say, oh, he's in a bad mood, or she's in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell just by the... And so I think we do share our spiritual experiences deeply.
And do you think also that that energy can be felt when you walk into a place such as this, perhaps, where spiritual energy is shared on a daily basis?
Oh, yes. There are places that are definitely sacred spaces. And I have really enjoyed the fact that the Sangha and the Unity congregation can share the same sacred space. And I think it benefits both.
Absolutely. Well, I think that speaks a lot to inclusion of other faiths. Buddhism actually isn't a religion, is it? It's a practice.
Exactly. We don't have a god. Buddha is not a god. He's just a teacher. So Buddhism is a practice, and it's completely compatible with many religions. We have Lutheran minister who's an active member of the Sangha now, and we had an Episcopal priest for years. And I think you can practice any religion and also benefit from the teachings of the Buddha.
Fantastic. That's amazing. My favorite quote, I don't know if I'm quoting this correctly, but when the Buddha was asked, are you a god? Are you an angel? Are you a prophet? He said, I'm awake.
Yes. And that's what Buddha means, awake.
Really?
Yes.
That's
Sanskrit for awakened.
Oh, see, you learn something new every day.
Yes.
The awakened one, I thought, but literally just means awake.
Yes. And you mentioned earlier that we're just all connected. Oh, I know. He awakened to the true reality. And as you were saying, this everyday walking around world we see is kind of an illusion. And the one in which it's me and you, us and them.
Yes.
That's an illusion. And when you wake up, you realize, oh, no, we are all one. We're all in this together. We're all in the same lifeboat.
And that's kind of hard to, for me, to accept when I see violence and hatred in the world, that I am one with those people that are abusing and killing others, and furthering that mindset, furthering that animalistic response to others. The separate, I call it the separation response. It right. gives me the separation blues, James.
Buddhists call that dualistic thinking.
Okay.
When you think that they are bad and we are good, that's dividing the world into a dualistic system.
Whereas, so how do you deal with that, though, when you see so-called others, parts of yourself, perhaps, out there who are angry and hateful and killing other people?
I think we should deal with them with great compassion. The people who kill other people must be suffering very deeply to do that. They must have some terrible pain inside them. And I feel sorry for them. But also, you know, I helped Reverend Harper organize a memorial service for George Floyd so that people on Cape Cod could express their feelings.
Yes.
And so we can't be completely blasé about these terrible things. I think there are times when we have to take constructive action to try to solve the world's problems.
Excellent. So you... I think what I hear you promoting is high involvement, low attachment.
Yes. Oh, you're good. Yeah, attachment is the big problem. Attachment to outcomes.
Yes.
If I said I'm going to carry this peace sign in a demonstration because all war will end tomorrow, then I'd be very disappointed.
Right.
You know, so I can carry the peace sign, do my part without any attachment to outcomes. And if everybody did that, maybe the outcome would be good.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you so much. That reminds me, James, it just popped into my head when you were saying that, this line from A Course in Miracles that says, infinite patience brings immediate results.
I like that.
So not being attached to the outcome actually will bring about a more positive outcome more rapidly, or perhaps in ways we didn't expect or couldn't possibly imagine.
Right.
And we call that sometimes a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, James. This has been so enlightening. I would love to have you back on again sometime. I'm afraid we're running down to the end of our time for today, but I'm so grateful to join with you in this moment. I feel a great peace and presence talking with you. And I also got a renewed inspiration and motivation to have compassion for those that I don't agree with and those who I feel are angry and hurtful in the world, to keep praying for them. Because my teacher, Yeshua from Nazareth, said that you need to pray for those who use you and abuse you and despitefully speak all manner of evil against you, and love your enemies.
Right.
Because you're telling me my enemy is actually myself.
Exactly. Well, that's what the Buddha was telling us and what Jesus was telling us in a way. Didn't he say, judge not, lest you be judged?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's many connections between Christianity and Buddhism.
Yeah, I can see that, and I feel like that's where the unity of all faiths come together. That's why I'm so glad I'm working for Unity Worldwide Ministries, because we do seek to see the truth at the core of every faith, and I'm just grateful to join with you today and to feel that that beautiful experience that you're having and that you're bringing to the world. And you definitely have brought it to us today.
Oh,
so
thank you,
James Kirshner, from the Cape Sangha here, Unity on Cape Cod. And we'll be seeing you again for another edition of A World Powerfully Transformed.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.